Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, chapter number 14, text 33, 34, and 35. So we don't have a board, right? So I'm gonna read, and then I will go word by word immediately, and you can repeat. Text number 33. Eva Advani Eva Rudrand Dhyato Mrityugaja Bhajati Tamasi Giri Kandara Praje Evam. In this way, Advani, on the path of sense gratification, Avarundana, being confined, he forgets the real purpose of life. Mrityugaja bhajat, out of fear of the elephant of death. Tamasi, in the darkness. Girikandana praje, similar to the dark caves in the mountains. Translation. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in the mountain cave. Purport of His Divine Grace, Ex-Bhaktivedanta Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. Text number 34. Kvachi citta vajati aneksha daivika bautikam miyana dukhinanam pratinya pratini varane kalpa duranta vishaya vishyana ashte kvachi. Sometimes shitavata adi, such as extreme cold or wind, aneka, many, Daivika, offered by demigods or powers beyond our control. Bhautika, offered by other living beings. Atmyanam, offered by conditioned material body and mind. Dukkhanam, the many miseries. Pratinararane, in counteracting, akalpa, being unable, duranta, insurmountable, vishaya, from connection with sense gratification. Vishana, morose, aste, he remains. Translation. The conditioned soul suffers many miserable body conditions, such as being affected by severe cold and strong wind. He also suffers due to the activities of other living beings, and due to natural disturbances. When he is unable to counteract them and has to remain in a miserable condition, he naturally becomes very morose because he wants enjoy material facilities. And text number 35, kvachi mito vyavaharan yatkan kinchidaranam upayanti vita shatyanam kvachit, sometimes or somewhere, mitak vyavaharan, transacting with each other, yat, whatever, kinchit, little bit, danam, material benefit or wealth, upajati, he obtains, vitashatena, by means of cheating someone of his wealth. Translation. Sometimes conditioned soul exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be a teeny profit, the conditioned souls choose to be friends and become enemies. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Parishra Bhutale, Shimate, Jai Pataka Swami Iti Namine, Namo Acharya Padaya, Nitai Kripa Padaya, Nikora Katadamadaya, Nagara Grama Tarine, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Parishra Bhutale, Shimate, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine, Namaste, Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashachadesha Tarine, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadatara, Shiva Sadigora, Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sinkupya Eva Cha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. The whole fifth canto, it's very important for us as a Vaishnavas, because especially this 14th chapter, because we found actually many answers which are directly connected with our life, with our consciousness, with our, you know, material existence. Now in this case we are witnesses in conversation between King Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami is trying to explain King Parikshit what does it mean being in the forest of material existence or in the forest of material world. So what he's doing, he'd call it a forest. And it's not easy to survive in the forest, as we know. Now, there are different formulations of material world in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. Somewhere we see formulation that we are in the prison, somewhere in the forest. They compare that also with different stages, different states. But the point is that we have to be conscious. We have to be aware where we are and what we're supposed to do here. Now, the tricky part is that sometimes our desires are not that pure, and sometimes desires are pulling us in another direction. It's pulling us direction to materially enjoy. But actually the purpose of this material existence, purpose of having material body, is actually purification or becoming a better person and going back to Godhead, going back to spiritual world. Coming back on text number 33, there is a very, very interesting for me explanation, you know, Shukadev Goswami is giving, that the main obstacle for us, the main force pulling our feelings, desires, is not just enjoyment. Actually, the main one is fear. We have a big, strong fear of somebody's hurting our body or death in the worst case. So fear of death, here Shukadeva Goswami compares with two things. He's telling the fear of death is big like elephant, and it's dark like the mountain cave. Did you ever been in the caves? Who has been in the cave? Please raise up your hands. Okay, you have experience. Cave is one extremely dark and cold place. Before, you know, in some older generations of our grand-grand-grands, you know, who were staying in the caves, according to historians at least, you know, there was, it's very good shelter, but from the other side, it's kind of scary, especially when you enter first time, you don't know how deep is cave, you don't know what is happening, you don't know if some bear will come out, you don't know anything, you know, fear is huge, it's long. And also elephant, I mean, if somebody's telling you, you have fear like a mouse, it's not good comparison, but when somebody's telling that that fear is huge like elephant, then it's really solid. That means that this is something really serious and something we have to think about and something we have to figure out. We have to figure out what we're supposed to do about that. So, the condition soul suffer many miserable bodily conditions such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. This is mentioned in text number 34. Severe cold, strong winds doesn't mean always severe cold and strong winds. In everyday's dealings, we have certain severe colds and strong winds. You know, it's not that always everybody's telling us whatever we want to hear. It's not that always, you know, things are happening how we want them to happen. It's actually very interesting. We are the conditioned soul. We are the spiritual soul stuck in material existence in this particular body in this case. So now we all have the knowledge. We all know that, you know, soul you cannot break, you cannot tear apart. Soul is forever. It cannot die, it cannot be drawn in the water. It's just, you know, our existence is from beginnings of the times and there is no end. It's eternity. Now, what is the source of that fear? Why we have fear of death? I mean, many big scholars was going into this topic and discuss about that. And also in everyday's life, in everyday's dealings, we can see, you know, different examples of what is actually the real source of our fear regarding old age, sickness and death particularly. And there is one very interesting cooperation that one devotee told me the other day, and I would like to share here with you. He's telling, when you're driving a car, you know, for example, one time I was driving more than 3,000 kilometers, me, myself, alone in the car. It was very hard, you know, slipping 2-3 times, then continue. I became that car. You know, I was really I started to feel that I'm not different than my car. Ultimately, what was going on? I'm sitting on my seat from point A to point B, I'm going, and I'm not moving, right? Going 3,000 kilometers, I mean, car is going. I'm just sitting on the same place, same seat, in the same environment. I'm just not moving. But what's happened in those 3,000 kilometers? Sometimes I feel happy when the road is really good. Sometimes I feel really angry because, you know, road is coming up and down. Sometimes I stay almost without fuel. Sometimes the rain is coming, so, you know, I cannot see anything and I'm going through. I exchange thousands of feelings just going from point A to point B, but ultimately I didn't move. I was just sitting in one place. So this is what is going on. We have a body. And body is going around. Yes, we are the one telling the body where to go. Little bit we are controlling. You know, also they're outside controllers. We are controlling a little bit. And we have feeling that we are this body. We have feeling that we are moving. From one point of view, yes, we are. But only through the senses. There are a few senses here which we are trying to satisfy day after day, year after year, life after life. And those senses are actually the very powerful force which drive us again and again. And mind, material mind, is trying to keep us in material world. Because material mind afraid that he will not exist anymore if we die. So ultimately, actually, our biggest fear is that we're going to lose this body. Our greatest fear that we cannot enjoy material enjoyments anymore. Again, knowledge. Material enjoyment, material world is nothing else but relief from suffering. You know, if somebody doesn't have suffering in the life, his life becoming boring. He doesn't have enjoyments anymore. I have few friends, but two friends was like extremely rich, and they could do anything. I mean, one particularly, you know, he doesn't have to work for the rest of his life, and his children and his grandkids, and you know, he could do whatever. He could buy a helicopter like that, no problem. Plane, private, I don't know. But he always felt boring. You know, I can go here, there is no mission, there is no suffering to make a happiness after out of that. And so what people are doing usually, they start taking drugs, they start doing different things to put yourself in miserable condition to be able to do something later to feel the happiness. Because in material condition, happiness, only happiness is really when we are going out of certain kind of suffering. Right? And, you know, when we are very close to the time of death, the fear is extremely strong. It's a crucial point in our whole life. My grandmother just passed away 4 days ago. She's the lady who was taking care about me and my brother at least first 15, 16 years of our life, and we was living together and everything else. And she was a very strong woman. I mean, she died, she passed away now in the age of 80, 85. So it's quite good age. But the point is that I was in touch with my parents all the time. And last 2 months was kind of confusion around her. And interesting thing happened last 3 days of her life. Doesn't matter how strong she was. It doesn't matter how tough she was. She was telling only one single word, day after day, all the time. Mommy, 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 where is my mother? It was amazing for me, you know, I'm thinking last couple of days about that realization, that such a strong woman, she never mentioned her mother, at least to me, and I spent a lot of time with her. She was afraid when, you know, chakras start, you know, going out, going away, you know, she was afraid so much that she remembers person that she feel most secure, and that was her mother. And that's fear. That's a fear. And then in the time of that, you just tight hands. Whoever is closest to you, you're trying to tight it and not to release, you know. It's a fear. And it's natural, because we are conditioned. There are only special souls, they don't feel a fear in the time of that. Or they feel little. Because 1966, Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in New York, and he explained that there is no person in this world who doesn't have fear of death. He mentioned exactly that. There is no person in this material world who doesn't have any fear of death. So, we need to work on our consciousness, because we have a long journey in front of us in this body, and we have to get the maximum benefit out of it. But everything is basically preparation for the last moment. Unfortunately for many of us, we don't know when is that last moment. It could happen any time, any second. It doesn't matter how young or old we are. It doesn't matter if we are here or somewhere else. It could just happen, just like that. Any moment. And that's why when somebody's in the spiritual life, somebody's trying to get a spiritual benefit, there is no break. There is no time out. There is no, okay, let's relax a little bit. You know, we don't have time to relax because we don't know when we're going to need high consciousness. We don't know when is that moment that we're going to need a high consciousness. There is also explanation. I will try to find that for you. The explanation why sometimes... Okay, Srila Prabhupada mentioned Bhagavad Gita 6:21 and he said that now every one of us is searching after happiness. I mean, of course, we're all trying to be happy because this is our natural feeling. In spiritual world, everybody is happy. It's perfectly happy. That happiness is different than happiness in material world. So he's telling now every one of us is searching after happiness, but we don't know what is real happiness. The real happiness is hint of real happiness. The real happiness is hint of real happiness. What is real happiness? That is being described by Lord Shri Krishna to Arjuna. What is the real happiness? Happiness we feel through our senses, because material, that stone, has no sense. Therefore, that stone cannot feel happiness or distress. Now this consciousness, the developed consciousness, feels happiness and distress more than undeveloped consciousness. Just like the tree. The trees, they have got also consciousness, but is not developed consciousness. Therefore, the trees are standing on the road or anywhere, but they have no sense of feeling and feeling the miseries. Now, suppose a human being is asked to stand like tree, at least for 3 days. Oh, it will be impossible for him because he cannot tolerate such kind of misery. So what is for one being happiness, for the other being could be a misery. Depends how conditioned we are. So now further, Srila Prabhupada explains actually what is the source of distress between devotees. What is the source of having the low level of consciousness in the places where devotees are living together. And it was very interesting for me that he mentioned that the main problem, the main source of unhappiness and material consciousness, even if we are surrounded by devotees, is breaking the regulative principles. He mentioned when there's somewhere there is a lot of breaking regulative principles, then the collective consciousness is coming down. And all devotees, even those who doesn't break principles, still suffer because of that collective consciousness. So that's why we have to be specially particularly strong when we stayed in the holy place. Because, I mean, not just in the holy place, you need to be strong also when you stay in the middle of some big city somewhere, surrounded by karmis and surrounded by many difficulties. You know, we need to be strong anywhere, actually. But collecting consciousness is something that we have to be aware of. If we are breaking principles, we don't damage just our consciousness. We also have a strong influence on devotees around us, on people around us. That means, in other words, we have to be very serious in our spiritual life. In opposite side of coin, if everybody is in high consciousness, then naturally things are happening in a mode of goodness. There is no stress, there is no fights, there are no miseries. You know, devotees has nice relationships, town is developing nicely, everything, people are coming, high class people are coming, high class preaching is going on, everything is in the mode of goodness. That's why it's very important that we don't allow our mind to manipulate us. Actually, what's supposed to happen is that we manipulate our material mind. And the best way to manipulate mind, I mean not to manipulate, but to... This is also manipulation. To put mind in a higher consciousness, that means to get a spiritual mind, is actually, according to scriptures, is samadhi. To be in the stage of samadhi. To develop perfection of yoga. In this case, we are doing one kind of yoga, which many scholars claim is the highest yoga. It's perfection of yoga, and that's a bhakti yoga. It's bhakti. It's pure devotional service. It's pure love towards Krishna. And this is something, You know, you have many schools. I'm coming from an educational background. You have many universities. You have many, you know, masters. You have different, you know, levels of schools and educations around the world. But Bhakti Yoga is kind of PhD, you know, between yogas. This is the highest yoga. This is the perfection. But, you know, when you're going on PhD, okay, do we have some PhD in the room here? Is somebody PhD? Wow, okay, Ganagamya Prabhu is PhD? Okay. So, PhD, you really need, when you're going there, I mean, even when you magistrate, you have to be very serious, but PhD, there is no mistakes. You know, you really need to be sincere, you really need to be serious, you have to write your essays, not just 2-3 pages, but 60, 80 pages, you have to attend regularly. There are no mistakes, you need to be perfect. So same thing with Bhakti Yoga. We got the highest. We got it because we won it. Because probably many lies we are trying to achieve perfection of yoga. Many of us went from life to life to life to life, desiring higher and better and more. And finally we got chance to be born in Prabhupada Lila, to be born in Chaitanya Lila, even to come in Mayapur. So everything outside, everything around us is perfect. But now it's time that we have to become perfect. That means that our desires has to become perfect. And the best desire which can, you know, get in the Holy Dhamma is actually to try to achieve perfection in Bhakti Yoga. That means seriously to follow everything what is written. That means to try sincerely to serve devotees, to build nice relationships between devotees, to go higher than, you know, verse 35, what is written. Verse 35, sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be a teeny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and becomes enemies. So the worst thing could happen to us in the Holy Dhamma is that we have enemies between devotees. And another devotees are watching us as enemies, and even worse, that we watch some other devotees as the enemies. Whoever is here who is chanting Maha Mantra, he deserves to be here on one way or another, without exception. It doesn't matter which color he's hanging around him at the moment. It doesn't matter which color he's hanging on his body. It doesn't matter what he's talking, how he's talking. Somehow, he's here with a reason. And Krishna knows that reason very well. Maybe we don't know, but Krishna knows, and we have to respect at least that much. He got invitation from Krishna for the certain reason. Now, some devotees maybe have sincere desire. They come here. And sometimes we develop, you know, when it's a new place, when you come first time to Mayapur, everything, especially people who are coming to devotees, who are coming for pilgrimage, everything is very holy, it's very special, it's very beautiful, it's very great. Because this is something new for us, this is something interesting, beautiful, amazing, different country, different people, Holy Dhamma, everything is great. But for devotees who stays here, after a certain period of time, we get used on that place. Okay, yeah, I'm living in Mayapur. Yeah, my house is 200, 300 meters from yoga pit. So what? So what? I'm still suffering. I still don't feel. I thought I'm going to feel here perfect happiness. I'm going to have everything perfect. I'm going to have enough of this and that. And Krishna is supposed to supply that to me. This is not why we are here. We should go back in our movie and remember what was our meditation before we came here. What was the real reason why we are coming here? The real reason was to achieve perfection in Bhakti Yoga. But after some time, we go into our material levels, material which are still there. Oh yes, we are bringing them. You know, like luggage you have to bring with you. We are bringing the whole, you know, big bag, Samsonite bag with all our material desires with us when we come to the Holy Dhamma. And sooner or later, we're going to open that bag and taking out one by one paraphernalia. You know, okay, I have desire for, watching games. Okay, there is desire for movies. Oh, movies. You know, Maya for movies. Okay, let me just check on YouTube what are the latest names. I'm not going to watch movies. I'm just going to watch the thriller. Okay, books. Oh, nice, books. Great. Okay, here is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this, that, da. In one moment, you go to Calcutta, you go to some shop, and you see there are many more books. Some interesting books, some funny books, this and that. Then sometime you go to visit different devotees around, you see the bunch of, you know, shelf full of karmic books with different, you know, like romantic stories and you know, I don't know, actions or whatever. And after that we are wondering, why? What is wrong with Mayapur? Nothing is wrong with Mayapur. Mayapur is perfect. Something is wrong with people who are staying in Mayapur. That's why things are sometimes going on the wrong way. But same time, you know, somebody sometimes feels distress or he had certain problem. You know, if we are too close to the problem, we look at the problem and we don't see anything else. We just see the problem and we think it's not possible to solve the problem. There is no solution for this. Or the famous one, it's too late. Let's just surrender, it's too late. That's illusion. That's also material mind. That's also, you know, the way how material energy is trying to cheat us. The very simple thing what we have to do is actually to take problem a little bit away from us and to figure out how small it is. Now this is just small piece of room. I see many wonderful faces here. You know, this is solution for my problem, relationship with devotees, with the sincere devotees. If I have problem, I have to look for the shelter. If I have problem, somebody doesn't have that problem. He can help me to solve my problem. So if devotees are separated by, you know, especially money, when money comes in the picture, then it's serious. It's really serious. I remember, you know, being here a long time ago, many years, and it was different. It's true. Because there were not that much that material consciousness around. Now it's much more of material consciousness because why? Krishna is opening us different door to see how sincere and how serious we are. The temple of Vedic planetarium is coming. You know, Mayapur is blooming. It's growing. Many serious people will come here looking for the shelter, looking for us to tell them what is Krishna consciousness. And if we are not ready, then those people will not get full benefit. So that's why Krishna wants to see how serious and sincere we are. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want to worship our senses. Oh, there are many bad buildings over there, or there are many bad people over here. This is all our senses, you know. It's energy, it's true, but we have to start changing first ourselves. Without changing ourselves, we cannot change environment around us. We should start changing ourselves, then trying to help our family, then trying to help the round of our friends first, and then trying to help also devotees who we doesn't know so well. We don't know so well. But that effort has to be collective effort. Otherwise, as is Shukadev Goswami mentioned here to Maharaj Parikshit, it's going to be very difficult and very hard to achieve perfection in Bhakti Yoga and to achieve the progress in devotional service even if we stay in the Holy Dham. Because if we don't have consciousness that we are staying in the Holy Dham, then we are not. We are not staying in the Holy Dham, at least on material level. Spiritual benefit is there. It's always there. Krishna is unconditionally giving spiritual benefit anywhere we are, especially here. But in the same time, doing Vaishnava parats on such a place, such as the Holy Dham, it counts much, much more than doing Vaishnava parats somewhere else. So whoever feels that he doesn't have strength to follow that, Because there are four regulative principles, but I will add the fifth one here. The fifth one is we should not do Vaishnava parads. You know, if we follow those five, then we can hope and we can pray and it, things will happen. Things will change here, even on material level, and then even spiritually and materially we'll have a beautiful and great, you know, time being in Mayapur and any other place. It's not happening just in Mayapur, it's happened in the whole, you know, earth, planet earth. So the whole point of explanation which Shukadev Goswami gave to Maharaj Parikshit, it's that we have to go away. We have to go away from our material desires. We have to do just enough, how much is enough, to, like some places mentioned, to keep body and soul together. Of course, when somebody is grihastha, when somebody has family, he has to take care about that family and to protect. This is his duty. This is his dharma. But the point is that only way to protect family is actually to be a Krishna conscious. Otherwise, everything else is just illusion. It's nothing else. If we are sincere and serious, in that case, in one moment, we can achieve perfection. The recently, if you remember, Mataji Abhyachi left her body. And it was really great, it was great way of leaving the body. But maybe some devotees doesn't know that Mataji Abhyachi, she was doing many amazing services here in Mayapur. She was helping anytime. It's interesting, you know, when you need different things here, you have different people on your list. If you want to chat about Krishna consciousness, there are certain people on list with whom I can chat to bring them up. If you want to speak bad about devotees, also there are a list of, we can go there, we can talk nonsense. All, I mean, if you need help in Mayapur, there was a list of couple of devotees that you can ask for help and you never get no as the answer. And one of those devotees was Mataji Abhyachi. Anytime, for example, we have some Mataji is leaving her body on some care has to be done or something, you know, if you knock on her door, you're not going to get no as answer. She will come. She will do it. If nobody knows, she will do it. So it's very hard when somebody develops such a high level of consciousness that Krishna just leave him on the end and just doesn't care about him. So Mataji Abhyachi, she came up to that level that she left body surrounded by her spiritual master, surrounded by all other, you know, very, very high Vaishnavas. Janivas Prabhu was there, Pankajangri Prabhu was there. Even her desire was actually that her husband is not there at that moment. And she fulfilled even that desire because he came just one day later. It was everything so great and perfect for her. It was very auspicious. When somebody leaves body on such a way, then there is no fear. There is no fear because Krishna is there. Krishna is here all the time. We just need to call him. Please, please come. Even we don't have to say that. He's here already. We just have to open our eyes. Interesting thing I heard, I was talking with my spiritual master the other day, Vijay Pataka Maharaj, and I told him, you know, I would like to serve you life after life. And he was watching me and he said, you know, same thing I told to my spiritual master one time. I said, oh, really? He said, yes. And you know what he answered to me? I said, no. He told me, why you want me to reborn again and again and again and again? You understand? You have a spiritual master and you want him to come back and again and again and again in material world. I mean, of course, he will come. But the point is that we have to go higher with our desires for ourselves, with our desires for another human beings around us, with our desires for the planet in general, for our desires for our family and for spiritual master, for the father, for all living beings, not just human beings, all living beings. We have to come in the stage of love. Once we are in the stage of love, then we cannot write down the bad comment, or we cannot think bad thought, or we cannot have a bad feelings towards someone. If you notice, sometime when you're in excellence, when you're full of bliss, then even somebody who is not dear to you, he shows up, he's like, but he's good, come on, he is nice, you know? And some days when you're miserable and, you know, it's really bad, then even somebody who is nice person who comes close, you're like, oh, please let him not come closer. No, no, I don't want to speak with him now. No, no, please, please go. Then we're trying to lock ourselves, to switch our phones, to go, you know. It's everything depends on which stage we are. We have a symptoms, it's telling us what we're supposed to do in which particular moment of our life. So this is only way, the samadhi, yeah. Samadhi is only way how we can come out for those miserable conditions and to achieve perfection in the bhakti yoga and to go above all these material stages that Shukadeva Goswami was explaining to Maharaj Parikshit, to go out of forest of material world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Ganagamya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned collective consciousness as a means to rectifying devotees who are not following perfectly or having difficulty, etc. That the collective consciousness, if it's high, if you're in a place where many elevated devotees are,
yes,
then you'll be affected by that. But also, if you have a collective consciousness of you're in a den of thieves, then that's also a problem.
Yeah.
So in our society here, how do we affect generally those devotees whose consciousness is very high? They're very humble. They're not speaking out against anything. They're not criticizing anything. But they see bad things happening, and the thieves, they're not concerned. It's like you're preaching very nicely, but in a sense, you're preaching to the choir here. Say in the church, you know, you're preaching to the people who always attend, who always sing, etc. Like this. So how do we as a collective group of people who generally come to Bhagavatam and are very concerned about the society and the activities of the society, how do we collectively criticize those who are not and actually achieve some change?
Yeah, thank you. So there are people, devotees on different levels of consciousness, they react on different way on certain things, certain happenings around them. If somebody is doing something bad around, if somebody is low consciousness, then he will try to remove that person or to put it away, or he just don't want to see that person. Whoever is on the high level of consciousness, he feels sad about that person. And he's trying to help that. Sometimes it's very hard to approach even person who is in the mode of ignorance completely. But at least he prays for that person. So now, if you have many, like we have in Mayapur, many wonderful devotees, many devotees on very high level of consciousness, and all those devotees, they are not angry about certain things happening around which had the bad outcome. They feel sad about it. And Krishna doesn't like when somebody who is very dear to him feels sad. And he doesn't send mercy because of that. He sends mercy to those devotees, of course, because on very high level. But that, you know, less mercy we can feel, on, you know, all of us can feel all the time. And whoever is on the low level of consciousness, then they start whatever is little around to start trying to grab between each other, and in the end we're coming on the material level and we are trying to grab material things between us. You know, it's like the full prison of 50 prisoners and you give one piece of bread. You know, it's like the whole fight is going on. I mean, you see, I don't want to put just Mayapur in context, I'm talking in generally here. If somebody is behaving bad, we cannot deny that. he's doing something what is not good, and what will possibly affect bigger scope of people. You know, sometimes those devotees are that much in illusion that they're saying, look, this is my joy, it's my thing, what it has with you, doesn't have to do anything with you. But it's not true. It's not true. There is a big effect. So if we, you know, if that person cannot hear from us, then there is no way, there is no, it's very hard to say. It's very hard to say to that person. We can always pray, but ideal way is to find somebody who is close to that person and to ask him, can you please help? I think that your friend or relative or whoever it is needs a little bit of encouragement to go on a little bit higher level, on the level that he doesn't need any much anymore so much material benefits around or anything else. So basically, no, we cannot affect so much people who are on the higher level of consciousness. But the point is that those people will not be happy, and they're supposed to be happy in the holy dhamma. And people who are on the low level of consciousness, or worse scenario, in the mode of goodness, they will not have benefit if we don't try to help them. We just have to find the proper way to help them. And, you know, just removing them, that's not the best option. But putting them in knowledge that they're doing something not so good on the right way, that's I guess, I believe, a good way of doing the things. That's the way how I see. So I don't know, maybe you have something to share with us. Maybe you have some experience also. You can tell us.
My experience is not very successful with turning people around.
Jai.
I just complain, and I express that I'm very sad to see certain things.
Yeah,
it doesn't generally change things too much. Sometimes a little bit, but not much.
I really believe in Sangha. I really believe in devotional association. If somebody is doing something bad, if there's some kirtan group there, if they invite him sincerely, okay, can you come? Can you join us? Can you spend one afternoon with us? Can you spend 5 days with us day after day? I'm sure that will have more benefit than coming close to one person telling, listen, you're a really bad person. You're really doing bad things. Because ultimately, you know, I'm not better if I'm telling him that. So I think we should focus more on Sangha, calling these people who are a little bit come down, trying to help them to come up, you know, and the best way is actually friendship. The best way is that brothering atmosphere, you know, to call him and to give him association without telling him what is good, what is bad. He will figure out. I mean, they know ultimately. We know. You know, so I don't know, I think we should have more spiritual associations between us. You know, more spiritual, automatically spiritual benefit will come during due course of time. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, purport?
I'm just wondering if you read the purport to the third verse. Or is there no purport to it?
Oh, the last verse, so 35. Yeah. No, I didn't.
It's not there?
No, it is there actually. I prepared to read that purport in the middle of lecture. You know, I was keeping here, it's there. It's with me for the moment. But somehow we start talking about different things, so I didn't. But in the purport it's explained actually. Whatever we are talking now, it's explained also by Srila Prabhupada very well. I can read now, it's great. Thank you. So it doesn't take so much of time. Number 35, the purport is, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8, the monkey-like conditioned soul first becomes attached to sex, and when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, such as apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others, and this creates enmity even amongst the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles. Otherwise, the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity it will be hampered due to dissension amongst its members. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their mind will not be disturbed. Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't read even when I was reading verse, because purport is on the other side, I completely forgot. So thank you very much. I'm sorry. Because actually, everything what I said actually was particularly connected with this purport, because it's very strong, it's very powerful. Yeah. Okay? Oh, yes.
Thank you, Vaikuntha Nittai. Wonderful thank class. Two points. Prabhupada said the movement, this wonderful movement, may be hampered. So I took optimism in hearing that. We may be idiots and we may fall short and we may, you know, slow down the desire of Srila Prabhupada and the Privacharya's manifesting, but I take it by hearing Prabhupada say it that way, we're not going to stop it. And sometimes when we see foolish disciples being bewildered by their material desires, mucking things up, I remember that pastime with Bhavananda at the time, Sannyasi, complaining to Prabhupada, and he stated it three times, so-and-so's doing this, that's okay, so-and-so's doing this. Third time, Prabhupada slammed his hand on the desk and said, Krishna will take care of it in his own good time. So I really liked how you emphasized the positive of Sangha, in aspiring for the high road, which is the spiritual platform. And when we think, you know, why don't the devotees on the spiritual platform do something? It was so nice to hear you say in your class, actually, they are doing the best thing to be done. For us who may not be there and feel inspired to try and help fix a problem, we can try, but if we are intelligent and see Krishna's not empowering us, then we should also try to follow the example or associate with or serve those who are on the spiritual platform, because Krishna or Gauranga Mahaprabhu is going to see that Prabhupada and the previous Acharya's desire will manifest.
Right, right. Thank you very much. It's wonderful. You mentioned the magic word, a foolish. Prabhupada mentioned a couple of times that word also for some of the disciples. So, you know, there is a big difference between bad person and foolish person. Bad person is somebody who really has a demonic character, bad character. Foolish person means somebody who is ultimately good, but he's doing some mistakes at the moment. So I didn't meet anybody who is bad here. Honestly, even sometimes we're telling things, we're saying, right? But that doesn't mean they're really bad. I mean, it means that we don't choose properly our words. Foolish is the right word. Sometimes we're doing some foolish things around, you know, but in that moment, if we need something, we need Sangha. We need somebody to be next to us. You know, like my grandmother, she needed her mother to continue journey. We need devotees. We need devotees. That's the main thing. There are two, three devotees that I know quite well, and sometimes their names are mentioned here and there as people who are doing something around or whatever. And interesting thing, all of them, they have one thing together. It's like a joint need. All three of them, they told me they don't have many friends in Mayapur. They don't have, I mean, from one side is right, it's reasonable because of this foolishness a little bit. Who wants to be friend with a foolish person, right? But in the same time, I'm foolish, right? But in the same time, they need more help than anybody else. They need more Sangha. They need more association than anybody else. And when you start giving them Sangha, then you figure out, wow, this person has so many amazing qualities. We're just not watching that part of him. We're just watching only the bad part. So yeah, I really believe in Sangha. I believe in going beyond our feelings and trying to really help and love people around. I think that could help us a lot in the future. Yeah. Yes.
One last thing, and I want to put it in the context of being a small thing, because I aspire for the principles that you shared with us. But when we say if the collective consciousness is not as high as it should be, that we become affected, we can take note that if we stay fixed in the shelter of the instructions of our spiritual master, we can quote Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he said, we don't care if the entire world in a very loud, clamorous, you know, voice is against us and our service to the Guru, we will never change or budge. So the individual always has the ability to be Krishna conscious because the Guru is always there, and usually he gives other associates to protect us. But even if, you know, we're never alone and we never have to be sucked down. And I say that not trying to detract from the importance of we all have to aspire for the higher consciousness, because it does affect most of us.
Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Okay, I guess it's 9 o'clock already. Thank you very much for coming today. Hare Krishna, I wish you a nice day. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Thank you very much.